Hi, I'm Kelly Corrigan. You've probably never heard of me. Maybe you did. I wrote some New York Times bestsellers. I gave a TED Talk. But the reason I'm in your ear now is to invite you to listen to Kelly Corrigan Wonders. We talk to everyone from Bono to Amy Schumer, Spike Lee to Rainn Wilson, Krista Tippett and Bryan Stevenson about purpose, creativity, well-being, and what makes life worth living. Follow and listen to Kelly Corrigan Wonders on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Work takes up most of your time. That's why you should use Stamps.com to save time with your mailing and shipping. Stamps.com will simplify your postage needs and add valuable time back into your workday so you have flexibility to focus on more important things. Stamps.com can handle your mailing and shipping needs with rates up to 88% off UPS and USPS. Send invoices, checks, certified mail, packages, and anything else you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. If you sell online, connecting with every major marketplace and shopping cart is easy. Plus, you can schedule package pickups through their dashboard and automatically see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers with Stamps.com's Rate Advisor. Add more flexibility to your workday with Stamps.com. Go to stamps.com/program to sign up for a special offer. No contract, cancel anytime. That's stamps.com/program.
Chipper here, 2:08. Chipper, was that Sam Darnold or was that Sam Darnold? Who do we have last night? Did we have USC Sam Darnold? It was the third pick in the draft. Did we have New York Jets Sam Darnold? Do we have Viking Sam Darnold, who's headed for a comeback player of the year? Or do we have the guy who last night would have overthrown Victor Wembanyama if he was open in the end zone? Because that was an ugly performance from the this year star quarterback of the Minnesota Vikings.
Yeah, it certainly wasn't the quarterback we've seen all season. I was just looking back the notes I took last night, and I wrote down, he misses Hockenson twice on third down in the first quarter, threw way high, too yep. amped up. Yep. And I kept waiting for him to settle down, and he never did. You could tell from his first throw. And we've seen this a couple times this year when he's excited or nervous or amped, whatever you want to call it, that he throws high. And, you know, just the number of overthrows he had in that first half, he couldn't get settled in. And I think nerves and the moment and the stage and all that has something to do with it. I think obviously Detroit, their game plan was for as sure. aggressive as we've seen Andrew Crane, my colleague.
Yeah.
Did you see the stats?
Yeah, great stats.
Going into it, but 14-0 blitzes, which is an all-out blitz. You defend the guys on the receivers, but everybody else is blitzing. That's more than any team has done in any NFL game this season. And then, which the Vikings never see, or rarely see, is the man-to-man coverage because, you know,
Jefferson
and Madison.
You're afraid of them.
They played man 67% of the time, which was the second highest rate of any game in NFL this season. So this was a defense that they have not seen, this scheme that they saw last night. And I don't think – clearly Donald didn't react well to it. I don't think KLC did either with the play calling and just continuing to these long developing plays that you're trying to take shots down the field because they never see. We hear them all the time. They never get to see man coverage on Jefferson, so they tried to exploit it and it just backfired.
Well, you nailed so many points there. Let me try to pick the ones because you added a lot. Let's stay with Darnold. There's no doubt he was pressured a lot. Okay, and that's going to get to you. But even before the pressure was getting to Chipper, you're so right on the Hockenson throws. And then just on the red zone decisions, which, by the way, because I'm going to criticize O'Connell later, I had no problem going for touchdowns. I really didn't. You assume when you're playing the Lions on the road, they're getting 31 minimum. They've had 40.6 games. But on those drives, I can see him right now. You got Addison running to the pylon. He's open, throwing the ball. Darnold's looking at him. You got Addison breaking from the pylon on a quasi pick, and he's going to wheel up to the end line, but you've got him wide open.
That's the one.
Darnold is staring at him. Then you have Jefferson from that same spot where Addison was coming across the end zone line, he's two strides ahead of, I don't know, some guy they've signed off the street because I don't know who's playing cornerback for him. Yeah. And he throws way behind him. I thought that was the one play Collinsworth got totally wrong. He's like, oh, Jefferson should have made that play. It was a yard and a half behind him. And then the other one where it's the stop and go.
Yeah.
And maybe he gets his arm hit. But, Chip, I watched it a couple times. I mentioned this earlier. I think he gets his arm hit after he releases it. He misses Jefferson by 5 yards. You cannot miss those throws, all of them.
The one that really jumped out to me was the one you mentioned about Addison where they have the rub route.
Yep.
I mean, I thought that was the first look. Like, you could just see it like that.
He's staring at him.
He's going to walk into the end zone.
Yeah.
I don't know why he didn't pull it on that one, throw there. You know, maybe he just had Jefferson in his mind, and that's what he's going. I mean, look, I mean, he was off.
Yeah.
There's no other way to say it. I mean, he threw the ball terribly last night. And
he did. It was Jacksonville-like.
Were you bothered with the run-pass ratio in the red zone?
Yes, I was.
To me, that's where I think the criticism comes, because I think Seifert somewhere, all the writers had, was it 11 runs?
No.
And I forgot how many, or 11 passes, how many runs? Not
it
many.
Was. It was 11 plays in the red zone, 9 passes, 2
yeah,
runs.
Yeah, 2 runs. That's. I just felt like,
that doesn't work.
When you have a quarterback that's jittery like that.
Yep.
You know, I think you could have gotten something with your run game there. And so I felt like they abandoned the run game too much, particularly when you needed to get Sam settled down. And I think that contributed to the problems.
Because there were times when they were more in the middle of the field, not just the Akers big run, but other plays, they were running effectively. So
yeah.
let me stay with Darnold just longer version here. Because if it turns out this way, we'll have this conversation over and over and over again. But we've both kind of come around to the idea that he just has played so good that who knows if he's your starter, but you just can't let him walk. At minimum, you have to franchise him, right? So let's say he goes to SoFi next week and plays the same way. And has another game where the moment is too big for him. That would end any multi-year deal talk.
Yeah,
but
franchise.
But
yeah.
Would you walk away from the franchise? Because if they franchise him and nobody makes a deal for him, then you got that guy at $40
million. Yeah.
But do you just let him walk out for only a third-round draft choice after all the success?
If he plays like he did last night, I don't see him coming back on the franchise. Do you? I mean, that would be two just major, major poor performances with the pressure turned on him. And
yep, it's fair.
What would give you confidence to do that? Now, I've said all along, this whole conversation, what they do with him, we need to see the full picture.
Yep.
That's why we need to, you know, 4 weeks ago, it was like, no, you got to see the whole thing before you know what you have to do. And that's clearly what the team's going to do. So let's see if he bounces back. I mean, this is a big week for O'Connell and Darnold, but I think O'Connell, not just his quarterback, but the entire team. We talked about this last week, right, Chad, that the danger is you put so much into this game. If it goes sideways and doesn't go well, did you invest everything you have into this one game where you don't, it wasn't a win or go home. Now your road's a lot harder than it would have been if you'd won, but they've got to regroup and rally here mentally and emotionally after such buildup and what was on the line with that game. And so this is going to be a big task for O'Connell to kind of pull that out and get his players back in the right frame of mind.
All right, let's stay with O'Connell. Let's pause here with Chip and talk about any other adjustments that KOC should have made, in particular these long developing routes, which have worked a lot this year. Like, and it's really featured great throws by Darnold. But when they're blitzing everybody, including Eminem, you got to adjust. Right? And then the Jay Glazer report of a trade, which I assume is going to absolutely, positively, unequivocally no. But I joked early, if let's say the Jets wanted, what do you want from New York, Chip? Statue of Liberty? The Bronx? I mean, what do you want? What do we think of that whole situation? And then just facing the Rams, they get a full week, but it'd be crazy if they lose 4 games all year. And they lose it the exact same way. They lose to Detroit, and they go to L.A. They lose to Detroit, and go to L.A. Our buddy Chip Scoggins right back with us here on CCO. I don't know. Do we call her co-speaker? Do we call her potentially Speaker of the House? Lisa Daymuth is going to join us in about 16, 17 minutes on the chaos in St. Paul. All right, let's go to O'Connell. We both believe he is an excellent coach. We both believe he's headed for Coach of the Year. I applaud him for designing a lot of these routes where it's not just, hey, here's a pitch to Aaron Jones. Here's an underneath route. They explore all aspects of the field. But you nailed it. When it's zero covers 14 times, when they're blitzing 56% of the time, when they're getting pressure half the time, he's got the playbook of thousands of plays, whatever they have. Where are the quick hitting routes? I just didn't understand that last night.
Yeah, that was the confusing thing to me. And I my hunch is, well, we know Darnold has led the NFL in passes over 20 yards for the season.
You know what else? You know what else he's led him into? Yeah. Completion rate against the blitz.
Yeah.
So both those areas. Yeah.
So I think there was confidence that even when he's blitzed, that they can get the ball down the field, and particularly because I think they just don't see man coverage to the degree that they saw last night. And I think, probably incorrectly, he thought Jefferson, Addison, they're going to win those matchups, and Darnold's going to be able to hit some big plays and make them pay for blitzing and playing man. But the line didn't hold up. Sam started, getting rattled back there, and they hit him a lot. And I think we have to give the Lions credit, too. Now,
yes, sir.
They probably Jefferson mentioned it, and the TV showed it a couple times. They were being physical. They were grabbing, but that's not an excuse.
I think it's smart, though, Chip, in a game like that where the officials are trying not to get involved. That's where, the Vikings defense until really late, they were really good. Right? I don't think either one of us is here to criticize, but I applaud Aaron Glenn with all the guys out where he is taking a chance, and he's also telling those guys, get physical. If we have to adjust as the game goes along, we will.
Yep.
They didn't need to.
No. I mean, they caught a couple, but there wasn't any that deterred him from playing that way, and they had to because you're playing backups. I think it felt just like a go-for-broke type thing here. You can't sit back and let Darnold pick you apart, and so they had this just – ultra super aggressive scheme and game plan, and that's where you wondered where the lack of adjustments by KO to say, let's get the ball out of Sam's hands quick, one, to get him in the rhythm, and two, to try to combat this pressure that he's facing and help him get settled in. And they just continued to try to look down the field for those big shots, and it backfired on him.
The Glazer report, I think, caused a lot of us to chuckle. I know. I chimed in because I think how Glazer phrased it is there are teams interested in Kevin O'Connell. So I retweeted that and added, I'm interested in winning the Masters. I mean, we have a lot of interest in a lot of things, I'm interested in Halle Berry coming over for dinner tonight. I don't think either is going to happen. He's got 1 year to go. God, we've joked about this a lot. You watch those videos. If they win, Ziggy Wilf is bursting with pride. I'm not sure we've ever had that look on her face when our kids have rode a bike for the first time or walked or graduated college. I see no scenario, unless we somehow have missed, that he's not happy behind the scenes. And there has been no inkling of that at all, right?
No. I have a lot of respect for Jay Glazer. Covered him a lot when I was the beat writer, and he would come into town in 09 and get to know him a little bit. He's a heck of a reporter. And I'm sure there are teams that will make a call and say, hey, what would it take? But my colleague Ben Gessling had to sit down with the Wilfs.
That was a real good story. Yep.
And they said, hey, both him and Kwesi, as soon as the season's over, they're going to do the extensions, and I'm sure it's going to be a massive deal for KO. So I I understand why people rolled their eyes and got a chuckle out of it, but I don't think he's saying it was going to happen. He was saying that teams are interested in seeing, you know, with the possibility, but it's not going to happen. They're going to sign him to an extension.
I think they're probably going to sign him to an extension 5 years, $10 million, something like that. I mean, his coaches' money is really jumping up. I'll be curious if Kwesi gets the same amount, right? The same, not total money. He's not.
Term, you mean term?
Term. Yeah. Is he going to get the same? Because Kwesi's had, that was a great offseason. Why am I forgetting the Colts got Grigson? I know a lot of people tell me that Grigson really gets a ton of credit because it's not like Kwesi's a longtime football guy.
Yeah. Well, that's it. He's more of a non-traditional. And I forgot the team. I saw it on Twitter today. Some team asked to speak to Grigson for an interview. Was it the Jets? I can't remember who it was, but some team has wanted to interview him for, you know, I assume their GM job. So they had a number of coaches.
Flores and McCown both asked by the Jets.
Yeah, and Grigson. So we'll see if that, you know, if that continues with the other teams that have openings now.
Let's talk about the defense. Gibbs would turn out to be the best player on the field, but when Ben Johnson decides to start, we're going to run the ball. Gibbs was 6 for, I think, either a yard per. I mean, he was doing nothing, or maybe it's even 6 carries for a yard. Eventually just, God, he's fast. He's frighteningly fast.
He's electric.
Man, he's fun to watch. He is, and they can use him all sorts of ways. And even with his size, he's not afraid to challenge guys. Mm-hmm. But the defense was awfully good, Chip. I really did, you know. And there's obviously one enormous play, and I've heard a lot of analysis on it, is when Goff makes a bad throw and you're thinking, is Van Ginkle going to get his third pick six? But you watch that replay, okay?
Yeah.
He's throwing a pretty much a bullet. Van Ginkle gets his left hand on it and isn't able to bring it back. I don't think Jefferson brings that back all the time. That would have been in a spectacular interception by Van Ginkle.
Yeah, I have a hard time criticizing defense. I mean, obviously, Bynum took a bad angle on the one, the first touchdown run. Okay, that happens. Gibbs is super talented. He's fast. They put the team in position to do something. I mean, to hold that offense to what they did until the kind of the dam burst there late. Got 2 interceptions. It's hard criticize that side of the ball at all. I thought they hung in there and gave the team a chance to win, and the offense just didn't pull its weight. And so I was a little surprised it was a low scoring game there.
I was stunned.
What was it, 10-6 at halftime? I mean, nobody saw that coming. So no real criticism of anything on the defensive side.
And it should have been 7-6 because Will Riker, I don't know what you're doing. Just and this OPA stats, which was on Twitter, is worth mentioning again. The Vikings in the red zone 4 times. Not a touchdown. 3 times goal to go. Not a touchdown. 2 failed fourth and goal attempts. 1 missed field goal, according to OPA stats, which until, 11:30 last night, I never heard of. That has never happened in the last 30 years. With all that happening, it's hard for me to look at Brian Flores facing the best offense in football and saying, hey, B-Flow, we got to have a serious conversation.
That's it. I mean, you're not going to beat, like, even mediocre teams all the time with those, with those stats, much less the best team in the NFC. And, you know, I think we have to give a nod to Detroit with all the injuries they've had on defense.
Fantastic.
To just keep plowing along. I mean, Dan Campbell is a great coach. He is. I know he's not for some because of his aggressiveness, but the guy knows how to get a team prepared to play.
Well, I mean, it seems like O'Connell's going to win Coach of the Year, but is it possible Coach of the Year might have been swung over to Campbell last night? You know, the Vikings are the more unexpected. It's almost always the unexpected.
Yeah.
But you just nailed it. 15-2 with 17 guys on the injured reserve. And even though Terry Arnold hasn't been the guy he was at Alabama, he's still their starting cornerback, and he goes out last night.
Yeah. I think the vote might be closer than it was. I think going into that game, it was going to be pretty lopsided in O'Connell's favor. And that might have swung a few votes, but I still think because of the unexpected, 14-3 with Sam Darnold and, the reclamation project there. And I still think O'Connell wins it, but you wouldn't find an argument with me with Dan Campbell being the coach of the year because of how that team has just really survived all these injuries, which, you know, it would have sank a lot of teams. That's
correct.
Just,
yep.
That many is absurd.
Let's finish with this. The NFL gives either the Lions or the Vikings a favor because, in theory, they could have put this game at Saturday night,
yeah.
Right? So
yeah.
It's Monday night. It's in L.A. I know the Rams won. I know McVay is one of the two or three best coaches. But here's the bottom line. The Vikings are the better team.
Mm-hmm.
The Vikings are the better team. That is not Ford Field. That is not a tough place to play. They should win that game next Monday night.
I agree. I mean, this is getting the money draw for them, I think, is great because it gets you more time to kind of recover both physically and emotionally from this. That atmosphere last night was off the charts. I mean,
yes.
You could tell from the,
awesome.
You know, talking to people that were there said it was just bonkers, and then you could tell by the stadium how revved up it was. And that's the best team, right?
Yeah.
You know, they're in a class right now that they've proven to be the best team in the NFC. And so I don't know what the spread is. I assume it's already out.
2.5-point favorites, Vikings.
Yeah, that sounds about right to me.
Yep.
But here's the thing. The quarterback has to.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, now they're not. I don't think they're going to face that same defensive game plan where you're getting, you know, zero blitzes.
Mm-mm.
14 times. It'll be different. So, but this is, you know, to get him back mentally and kind of figure out all the, you know, schematic things that went wrong. This will be an important week for him to kind of get recentered again.
Thank you, my friend. Talk to you soon.
All right, bro. See you.
Chip Scoggins, Lisa Damoth. What is going on in St. Paul? Are the Democrats going to show? If they don't show, what does Lisa Damoth do? Is she co-leader? Is she co-speaker of the House? Is she Speaker of the House? Because we're looking at seemingly it's 67-66. Lisa Damoth in minutes on CCO.
89% of business leaders say AI is a top priority. But with AI tools popping up everywhere, how do you separate the helpful from the hype? The right choice is crucial, which is why teams at 1/3 of Fortune 500 companies use Grammarly. With over 15 years of experience building responsible, secure AI, Grammarly isn't just another AI communication assistant. It's how companies like yours increase productivity while keeping data protected and private. Designed to fit the needs of business, Grammarly is backed by a user-first privacy policy and industry-leading security credentials. This means you won't have to worry about the safety of your company information. Grammarly also emphasizes responsible AI, so your company can avoid harmful bias. See why 70,000 teams and 30 million people trust Grammarly at grammarly.com/enterprise. That's grammarly.com/enterprise. Grammarly, enterprise-ready AI.